Well, Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord, for giving us breath and life. Lord, I thank you for your kindness, God, for allowing us to come together where there's so much happening in the world, where there's so much things that are going on. But Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come together, Lord, to partake of the means, God, and hear your word and to be encouraged by one another, Lord. So, Lord, I do pray for help this morning, God. I pray that you would, Lord, help me to teach this lesson, God. Give me clarity. I pray you would help me. You would give me more of your spirit. I pray that these truths would be effectual, Lord. They would be applied upon the hearts of your people so they can have a, Lord, just a reverence to Christ being the prophet, Lord. That they may come to him, the one who speaks through the word. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help, Lord. And if any way, Lord, with this little message that I have, if it can be helpful in any way in pointing them that direction, Lord, I pray you would put them in that direction, God, so they can know more of Christ as he, Lord, fulfills this office as our great prophet. So I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, Lord, and you would help us to be attentive, and pray you would help us, Lord, this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So like I said, this passage will help us and guide us in defining what the purpose of Christ being a prophet is, and the function of Christ as a prophet. So let me read the passage here. So Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 22. We won't talk about the whole passage, but just certain verses here that will help us. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, you should not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There should not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord, my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word of the Lord has spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So the topic this morning is Christ as our prophet. I was talking to Landon when he was walking this morning. I asked him a question. I said, hey, do you think, you know, when it talks about, when Moses talks about he'll be like me, the Lord God will raise up from your brothers a prophet like me. And I was telling him, do you think the similarities with Jesus and Moses when Moses went into the land of Egypt to get the people out, he did all these, God was working through him to do all these miracles and signs. Is there similarities with Jesus when he comes in his ministry, he does all these miracles and signs? And I was asking him that, if that's one of the functions as Jesus as prophet. What do you think, Brother Rob?
Absolutely. I think the entirety, because of what Luke 24 says, the entirety of what we see, especially in the offices of prophet, priest, and king, all of those relate directly to Jesus, and it must have been direct correlation and a prophetic, prophetic instance in history to show the people of God what to expect from God.
Yeah, it's good, brother. Anyone else have some thoughts towards that? Comes to mind? Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting that he says, and the Lord God will raise up a prophet like me from among your midst.
Yeah.
The Lord God is speaking through Moses, right? And then down a few verses later, he says, I'll raise up for them a prophet like you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like the Lord God is saying, like me, as in, like the Lord. You know?
Okay.
I mean, instead of Moses, I think it's like me and like you.
Yeah.
Basically talking about Christ.
Yeah. You know, I find this, you know, like Moses being a type of Christ, a similarity. You see Moses when he was born, a beautiful baby. And then what happens? Pharaoh begins to see the people multiplying. He wants to take out the children. And he begins to kill some of the children. And then you find in the life of Christ, where Herod finds out that Jesus is about to be born, he starts killing the children. And they're both, you know, preserved by God. So like me, you know, Moses said, he'll raise them up like me. And I find that that some of the similarities between Moses and Jesus, you find the miracles, there are similarities. He goes into Egypt. He does these miracles and signs by the hand of God. And then here comes Jesus. By his ministry, he comes and he does all these miracles and signs. So you find those similarities with Moses and Jesus. And also another similarity too is that God uses Moses to deliver his people from the hand of Pharaoh. They're enslaved there. They have heavy burdens there. They're in the bondage of the house of Pharaoh there. They're doing his will. And then here comes, you know, in the same way of Jesus, here we are, we're enslaved to sin, enslaved to Satan and the power of Satan. Here comes Jesus and he rescues us from our sins and he delivers us. So there's a similarity there. I think but here's one of our main focuses as one of the functions of Christ being the prophet. And you find that in verse 18 is that just like Moses was raised up, and you know Jesus is raised up as well. And you find that who makes a prophet, it is God. He raises him up. This is what Moses says. And he says in verse 18, he says this, "And I will raise him up for them a prophet like you from among your brothers." We know that it is God who's doing the raising up. He preserves Moses and he preserves Jesus from the assault from Herod. And we know that God raises him up. One of the main things that we know that one of the functions of a prophet is that they're speaking on behalf of God. You see that when Moses in Exodus 4:10, you can turn there in Exodus chapter 4. You find a little bit of the concept of what Moses is called to do. I'll start from verse 10 here, Exodus chapter 4. This will just help us define a little bit of what are the functions of a prophet. But in verse 10, it goes on, he said, "But Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in speech, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." So we have this, that God is calling Moses to do something. And Moses replies and says, "Man, who am I? Look at my speech." But God is going to use that instrument, that mouth, to speak. That's one of the things about a prophet. He's going to speak. But we know that Moses kind of backs out, so he has to send his brother, his Aaron. Aaron comes along, and that's helpful insight too, because you kind of see a little bit of like, what are the functions, a little bit of like, and you can go to Exodus 7:1 to tell you how Aaron, basically his function as a prophet to Moses. And this is interesting, but this will help us define what does it mean that these prophets are speaking. In Exodus chapter 7, it says this. And this is, and we know the reason why Aaron's there is because, you know, Moses didn't want to go and speak, so therefore God, you know, called Aaron to help him. So he says this. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God of Pharaoh. I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet." And he goes on to say, "You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of this, go out of his land." So I bring these passages to help you understand, like, one of the functions of the prophets to speak. You know, speak God's word. And you find Moses, he didn't want to do that. So therefore Moses, you know, raised him up and said, "Well, you be like God to Aaron, and he'll be your prophet." So you find that God is communicating through a person. There's someone in the middle. He's communicating truths to the people of God, and he uses Moses and he uses Aaron as a prophet. So it's interesting. A lot of, you know, I think I have thought in the past, like, oh, Moses is doing all the speaking, but actually Aaron is doing a lot of speaking. But you see that one of the things that a prophet does is communicate God's word to the people. So we know that one of the things that Moses does is he communicates the law of God to the people of God. He goes to that particular scene. I think it's in Exodus 9. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus 19, verse 7 through 8, where he talks about, "So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' And Moses reported the words to the people, to the Lord. Reported the words of the people to the Lord." So we see that God is speaking through Moses, gives them the commandments of God, and then here comes Moses and he speaks the word of God. He speaks the commands of God to the people of God. And one of the purposes of one of the purposes of having a prophet is actually, it helps you. One of the purposes that we have a prophet, it kind of helps you here. And when you read this part of the request they give here, you'll understand why this prophet's going to be raised up. If let me just read this passage here, and it says this: "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, he shall speak in name. I myself will require it of him." So he goes on here. Let me see. No, actually, it's in verse 16. Let me read that part. I'll just start in verse 15. "But the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die.'" So one of the reasons for having a prophet is because the request they made, and actually in the past, they made a request when they were standing before God, when God was on the mountain, he was thundering lightning and flashes, and he was speaking the voice, he was speaking through the thunder, and the people were hearing that. And actually, we can go there. I'll show you just the scene of everything that's going on. And this will help you understand why that request is given, and why that prophet's going to be raised up. But let's see. This will be in Deuteronomy 5. I'll just start from verse 22, and I'll keep on reading. Deuteronomy 5. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he had it no more. He wrote them two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire this day. We have seen God speak with man, and man still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? Here's the request. For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have, and has still lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. So you see this. You see the reason why God's going to raise them up a prophet, because they can't stand before God. God is holy and righteous. He is great. He has these glorious truths. He's declaring the law of God to these people. He's declaring to them what he desires them to do, what his will is, and they can't even withstand the presence of God or hear his voice. So they say, no, Moses, you're like us. God's not like you, but you're like us. So therefore, you go and speak. You speak for us, for God. You speak to us. You communicate what God has to say to us, because basically you're like us. And that's why you find it here when he says in Deuteronomy 18, he says, I will raise up a prophet from among your brothers. From your brothers. Yes, brother, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's a little extra insight too, I think, in Exodus chapter 20, when the account is occurring, and he says, you know, pretty much the same thing, that you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die, in verse 19. And then verse 20 goes, Moses said to the people, Don't fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.
Yeah.
So it was very much an intentional act on behalf of God in order to display his glory in such a way that they would be so frightened to praise God, to worship God, and ultimately to follow him. And it continued on saying in verse 21, the people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good, brother. Yeah. I think if you keep on reading Deuteronomy 5, he tells them about what kind of heart they had. He says this. So like in verse in Deuteronomy 5, just to add to what you're saying, verse 29, he goes on and says, Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, Return to your tent. So he's like, Oh, that they would have a heart like that of reverence and worship to me. So that's a good point. And I think about, you know, in the similarities of Jesus, you know, here you have Moses having the words of God, speaking to the people of God, and you have that kind of same similarity with Jesus, you know, you in the high priestly prayer. And in John chapter 17, he says this, For I have given them the words that you have gave me. So you see that Jesus is fulfilling that as well. And then you also see other accounts of Jesus, like Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, So here you have Jesus in the same kind of way teaching the people of God. He's declaring them the word of God. In the same way you have those similarities with Jesus. One of the other functions of a prophet that I find in the scriptures concerning prophets is that you find them talking about, you know, repentance and judgment. You find that in different prophets in the Old Testament, and you find that similarity with Jesus. We see Jesus in his ministry. He goes on in like Luke chapter 19, verse 47 and 48. He was teaching daily in the temple. So we have him teaching. And he also in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after John was arrested, he came in Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So one of the functions of a prophet is that he'll call people to repentance too. You find that in the life of Jeremiah and the life of Ezekiel, that they would come and they would just call people to repentance. I find in 2 Kings 17 verse 7, it kind of helps you understand like some of the prophets that were sent. Let me see here. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. It talks about, this was in the days of when Israel rebelled. "Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, 'Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with the law that I commanded your fathers.'" And he talks about how one of the reasons why he's sending these servants, he's sending these prophets, is to call them to repentance. And you find that in the life of Jonah. In the life of Jonah, he comes to the city, 40 days, 40 nights, repent. The king of Nineveh, you know, he calls for sackcloth and ashes, and he repents. And you find that same kind of function in Jesus as he fulfills this function as a prophet. You find like in Luke chapter 5 verse 32, "I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Luke chapter 13 1 through 5, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So he comes and he calls people to turn away from their evil ways, to obey God, to come to him. Basically, that's where it comes down to, that Jesus is coming to save his people from their sins, that they may turn to him. And he exposes sin. Prophets were called to expose sin, to expose the evil ways of the people that were sinning against God. You find that a little bit in the life of Jesus when he goes to the woman at the well. He talks to the woman at the well. He tells her about her husband that she's been having. And then what does she say? "Oh, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." So there's that reality that one of the functions of a prophet is to call people to repentance. So I was thinking of a question. How shall I respond? How should a believer respond to Christ as being a prophet, or how can an unbeliever as well respond as Christ being a prophet? And I would say, yeah.
I think we have Christ being the living Word and the words of life.
Yeah.
And Christ talks about, that people already talked about it. It's just Mark 6:4 that the prophet has no honor in his own city.
Yeah.
But we look at who Christ, came to be to save us, Redeemer. He did prophesy of what things would come as far as his ascension into heaven.
Yeah.
And so, as a spokesman for God, he's the living Word.
Yeah.
So, all through Scripture, you see it being taught that Christ, obviously, in many things.
Yeah.
But a prophet.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, having Christ as our prophet, You think about that famous verse in Hebrews chapter 1 where it talks about long ago and at many times in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. So one of the reasons, I mean, how should we respond to believers is that we have this greater prophet than Moses. Just like Moses, when he went into the land of Egypt, God used him to deliver His people. And then here come God, He sends His only Son. Let me mention this. One of the uniqueness things about Moses, how he's kind of separate than all the other prophets, is that he's the only prophet that it says that God spoke face to face with him. There's a couple of chapters that talk about that, and I'll just read them. And it's important to know that because when you talk about Jesus, comparing that, but some verses to think about, like in Numbers chapter 12, 6 through 9, it says this. This is dealing with Moses' sister and his brother when they're accusing of Moses. So he said to them, "Hear my words." This is the Lord speaking. "Hear my words. If there's a prophet among you that I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And another verse, Deuteronomy chapter 34, 9 through 12. "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him. For all the signs and wonders that the Lord has sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel." So one of the things that is unique about Moses is that he's one that's seen God face to face. He spoke to God face to face, and he kind of makes him different from all the other prophets, because God will speak to them in riddles and visions. But Moses is different. But here you have Jesus as being the one that's greater because he was for eternity with the Father. He was always there with perfect communion. So that's why he's such even more glorious. And that's why we can read Hebrews chapter 1. And it says, "Long ago at many times in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world." So one of the ways we can respond is to realize that we have a prophet who's in the middle to speak to us God's words and His commands. That is, He's not like these prophets of the past. He's more greater. He speaks the word of God to us. Just like what God said about His Son in Mark 9, verse 7, and a cloud shouted them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So one of the ways we can respond is to listen to him. To listen to him. And how can we listen to him? Through his word. Through the preaching of his word. "For all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So we have God speaking to us. So we can listen to Him. Just like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to Him when He talked. It's important in this passage, it kind of gives an application. Because if we're not listening to Jesus, if we're not spending time in His Word, then we're listening to someone else. And this is the warning that He gave to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 18. I mean, these are the people who are coming into the land. These are the people who have been delivered. These are the people who has been rescued from the power and the hand of, of Pharaoh who've been set free. And these are the people that are coming to the land because a promise that was given to Abraham and Isaac that God's going to lead them. He's going to bring them to the land. He's going to bring them. He's going to fulfill His promises. But He also warns them. And here's the warning. If we're not listening to Christ, we're listening to something else. And here's a good application. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, you should not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughters as an offering. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord. See, if you read this verse, you find two kind of like thoughts here. You have, don't listen to them, because all those things that they have in common, they're worshiping gods, they're worshiping and they're hearing, they're seeking counsel, they're consulting with mediums and necromancers. And God says, no, you should not do that. When you come into this land, you're not going to be worshiping them. You're not going to be listening to Him, because I'm going to tell you who you're going to listen to. The one that I'm going to raise up as a prophet. You listen to Him. And that's a good application for us. Like, be aware of what you listen to. I mean, be in the Word. Renewing your mind in the Word. And because God says, you know, these things are abomination. Things that lead you astray from God. I mean, these are the things that He hates. He says they're an abomination. That word abomination is abhorrent. It's something disgusting. You know, that God doesn't like. He says, don't go to those things. Don't learn their ways. So, but listen to the prophet and to the Son, who is the greater prophet, Jesus Christ. And it's important, he says, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. The reason why he doesn't want them to do that, the reason why, because they're an abomination, he's going to drive them out. Because he wants his people with him. He wants them to be blameless. He wants them to walk before them. Just like Abraham, when he appeared to Abraham, he says, hey, I'm the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. So there's that reality that God is saying, you don't do this because you're my people. I rescued you basically from the hand of Pharaoh. You're my treasured possessions. And I didn't save you because of any righteousness that you have, but I saved you because I loved you. So therefore, you're with me. So it's not, I mean, the promise is not only just to come to a land for milk and honey. I mean, and cattle and beef. I mean, it's to be with God, right? That's the important thing, is that we have God. To come to God and to have the words of God. To Him speak to us and direct us in our life. So it just, I mean, the Lord knows what's good for us. He wants us to hear us. He wants us to listen to Him. So it's important that one of the applications that we listen to Him. That we should listen to Him, His Word, His promises, and to be blameless before the Lord. I think a really good passage in the New Testament that kind of deals with all this is Ephesians chapter 5. You're more welcome to turn there. It kind of gets kind of some of these thoughts of these applications, because here you are, you have an Ephesians chapter, or the book of Ephesians, he deals with chapter 1. He praises God, he blesses God for all the kindness that he has bestowed upon us in Christ. In chapter 2, he deals with the Gentiles, how they're separated from God and from the commonwealth of Israel. They have been, you know, they've been far away, but he brings them near by the blood of Christ and he makes them one people. And then he goes on and tells them, like in chapter 5, he says, therefore, because of all these blessings that he has bestowed upon you, he says this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering sacrifice to God. And then he goes on and talks about, in the middle of this passage, about You know, but let there no sexual immorality or all impurity or covetous not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness. He deals with their speech. You know, he deals with their conduct and the way he doesn't want them to participate in these idolatrous acts. And then he gives them a warning: for those who practice these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. But I mention these things because there's something important here, that one of our responses is to know the will of the Lord, and he deals with that, and to know what pleases the Lord. In verse 10, I'll start in verse 9, he says this: for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So one of the ways for us to discern what's pleasing to the Lord is to listen to Christ and His Word, to figure out what pleases God. Then he goes on in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But understand what the will of the Lord is. So how should we respond to Christ as prophet? We listen to Him. We go to His Word. We know His will.
So I was just going to also say on top of that, the very nature of the office of prophet is for the fact of words being spoken on behalf of God for the purpose of adhering to them. And when Jesus is explaining to the disciples after his resurrection what really the entirety of the Old Testament, Old Covenant was about him, he says something very, very interesting here. Luke 24, it says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And when he says that very word proclaims, he is bestowing in his name the office of prophet to the people of God as well, as we are indeed prophets of God in the fact that we are forth-telling what has already been said.
Yeah. That's really good. I think about, you know, the Apostle Paul when he mentions, like, I've been separated from the birth for this purpose, to speak the truth to the Gentiles. And you kind of have that thoughts with Jeremiah when he says, "Before I knew you in the womb, I separated you to be a prophet to the nations." So yeah, it's really good, brother. That's really true. Even the Apostle Paul had that idea that he was separated from birth for the purpose of preaching the gospel. So yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, if you need more thoughts, that would be... Have any thoughts or anything? Any questions? I would think that Will would know this about the proclamation.
I mean, there's one thing. I don't know if you... I just walked in at like 10 o'clock, so you might have already gone over this. So if you did, then I might just be repeating what you've already said. But one thing that I would notice or explain is that in John 6:14, after he had filled them with the loaves and fed all the 5,000, it says, "When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world.'" Mm-hmm. So they recognized that Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy in Deuteronomy 18 that you've been talking about.
Yeah, so. That's good. You didn't even touch on this. Like, there's really important passages. What passage was that, brother?
That was John 6:14.
I think about, the other passages came to mind, like in Acts. If you go to Acts, you'll find it, you know, you'll find Peter and Stephen talking about, you know, hey, he has arrived. This is him. And they talk about Christ being that prophet. So that's two passages I think I have in my notes. I just didn't even deal with. But, that would help you, give you some insight that, hey, he has arisen already. He's been here. So that's a really good two passages to go to. Is the sermon of Peter and Stephen in the book of Acts. I'll just end here with how should the unbeliever respond to Christ as prophet? Well, I think about, he came preaching the gospel. He came, he said, the time is fulfilled. Repent and believe the gospel. He is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. This one who preaches God's word, he brings the word of God. He is the word of God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And he's the one who suffered upon the cross to die for sinners. So his words are really important. Just like in Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7, he says this to the unbeliever: seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So here you have Christ as one who calls to people to turn from their sins, to come to him, to be saved, and to hear from God. So basically that's my closing there. And I'll just pray. Well, Father, I just thank you for this time, Lord. You're so good. You're so kind. I pray that you would help Phil as he prepares to speak, Lord, your word, Lord. Lord, just as Rob mentioned, Lord, in a prophetic sense, Lord, that there's my brother that he's in about to proclaim the word, God. So, Lord, I just pray if there was anything helpful from here, Lord, that would, Lord, help us to be more attentive to the preaching as we come to the main, Lord, teaching, God. I just pray that you would, Lord, help us to listen, God. Help us to hear your word, God. Lord, that you want to speak with us. So I just pray that you would help us, Lord, and that you would bless this day, God. In Christ's name, amen.